Well, today we're starting another subject. We completed our theology proper on the attributes, existence and attributes of God. So if you missed any, we can get you copies of that. Also, if you want to hear a CD or tape, I think all the tapes are back there. There's 10 that are out on loan in the theology proper, the first 10. So there's nothing like theology to give you a good foundation, a good grounding in the Word. And it's we'd like to stay, you know, like Peter said, it's good for us to be here. We'd like to stay on that mountain, you know, and focus on God. That's the main thing. And we had a final study there, occupation with God. We want to keep that in mind. But as we continue, we're going to the subject of angels. So we have a handout back there. This is something of a double study. I didn't realize it and until got into it. There's so much material here. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to read some passages here. We'll have another word of prayer. Let's read. Maybe I'll read the context. Hebrews 1:4. This is showing the superiority of Christ over the angels, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. Again, and when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Don, would you lead us in prayer? Now, the word angel means messenger, and we see in this context a key verse. Notice verse 7 says, Then of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. So they are spirits. We don't see angels. And then again, verse 14, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, they're messengers and they're spirits. Those are two key things. Points here. And of course they are created, and in contrast to Jesus Christ, who is God, they worship Christ. And let's go to Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. There's a reason, of course, the book of Hebrews is emphasizing Jesus' superiority, because in the day of Gnosticism they worshiped angels. They try to say that Jesus is one of many angels through which we mediate to God. Notice in Colossians chapter 1, and all this is corrected in this section here, Colossians 1, 16, For by him, by Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he's the head of the body, the church. And so he created the angels. He created principalities and powers. And again, they worship him. So as we look at this, we do want to have a right estimate. I don't know that that's possible in our limited state, to have a right estimate of the greatness of angels. No doubt if we did see angels, we'd be falling down and worshiping them too. You know, if John the Apostle fell into that, I think we would be prone to that. You might say, oh no, I wouldn't. Well, if we would see the greatness of these beings, if we would really see them, that would be the temptation. These holy angels, they are so great. Now, as it's noted here, that you have 108 references in the Old Testament, 165 references in the New Testament. So, what's that, you mathematicians? 273 references in 33 books of the Bible. That's half of the books, so 66 books in the Bible. So, this is a very prominent theme. Again, not that we want to have our focus on angels. We want to have our focus on Christ, whom the angels have their focus on. But God wouldn't have revealed this to us if it wasn't important. He wants us to understand. You know, there's more than meets the eye. We saw something of that in our Daniel study, and we're going to see more in Daniel 10 with the conflict in the spiritual realm. If you could pull back the veil, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? If you could truly pull back the veil in the unseen spiritual realm, we would be overawed by that. We'd be overawed in the holy angels who are with us. No question about that. They observe our worship. They are there to protect us. They are there, they're ministering spirits, as we saw there, to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. So, but you have the evil angels too. That's another study down the line. And they're very real as well. There's a battle going on in the unseen realm. Actually, they do God's bidding. They're subject to Christ, even the evil angels, even Satan himself. But we know that they're allowed to work out their purposes. God works it all together for good for us. But there's an unseen realm. There's a whole other world. And as we consider these angels, I contemplated trying to get through these two pages, and I don't think we're going to try to do that. Couldn't do justice to it if we did. But notice here, as we consider the nature of angels, they are created by God. We saw that. Let's turn to Psalm 148, verse 2. So we want to put it in perspective. They are not omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent like God. They have limitations. However, they are greater in power than might, very much greater than man. In Psalm 148, verse 2, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise ye him all his angels, praise ye him all his hosts, praise ye him sun and moon, praise him all ye stars of light. And so they're his, and they're his hosts. Now they are a higher order of being, no question about that. Now let's go to the book of Job, chapter 38. There's a lot of conjecture. It always surprises me in commentaries. They go beyond what the Bible says. It doesn't do any good. I look at just what the Bible says. Try to in these studies. We don't need any conjecture about it. We don't know when the angels are created. I could give you some of their conjecture. Some say day one. Some say ages before the creation of man. We don't know. But notice in Job 38, verse 6, it says, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or laid the corner thereof? Let's see, verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now we know that those are angels. We're going to see that a little bit later, briefly here, as they are sons of God. And notice, though, they were there witnessing the creation, witnessing the foundation of the earth, witnessing, they're called stars because they, here's an interesting point for you. You know, the stars are called the heavenly host. Well, the angels are called the heavenly host. And the inference clearly is that they inhabit this universe, and the stars are innumerable, aren't they? So are these angels. And people are going out there with their telescopes, or going out there with their spaceships, and they collect a little dust, and they find out there's no water out there. We're the blue planet, and there's no life. There's life. It's in the spiritual realm. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to quote this, some of these for time, if you don't mind. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So Jesus was made a little lower than the angels when he became a man. The angels worshipped him because he still was God, right? As we saw that in the incarnation and the hypostatic union. But he became lower than the angels. You and I are lower than the angels. So we want to have respect here for these superior beings. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 33:2, where we see that they are innumerable. Sometimes we're going to see a little later in the book of Revelation, it talks about thousands of thousands. Well, the Greek is myriads of myriads. And the thought is that you can't count them. You've maybe heard, I think I touched on it in relation to occupation with God. The Hubble telescope, they estimate 100 billion galaxies. Those are the ones they can see. You know, there's more beyond that. And trillions of stars in each one. So you really cannot count the stars. Well, I don't believe you could count the angels. That's how innumerable they are. And let's go to Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints from his right hand, were in a fiery law for them. When we get to the holy angels, we're going to see they had a part in the giving of the law. It's interesting. But he came with them. That was one of the awesome aspects of God manifesting himself there, Mount Sinai. But notice, 10,000s of them. It's a figure of speech. What's the word there? Hyperbole. You can't number how many there are. Psalm 68:17. Again, the innumerable aspect of these angels. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Now, let's go to Daniel 7. Bear with me. There's only 273 references here, so we won't turn to all those. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I should have read verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, it's God the Father, I believe, did sit, and whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. That's a cherubim, by the way. And then you have the thousands of thousands are there in front of him. Innumerable. Hebrews 12:22, you may know that. We come to the new holy city, the Jerusalem, where the saints are. An innumerable company of angels, it says. And let's go to Matthew 26:53. Thinkest thou not that I can pray unto the Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Now that would be 72,000 angels in that case. And I won't turn to all these, but you had Luke 2:13. You have I can't quote it. Let's turn to Luke 2. It's the host that announced the birth of Christ. After the singular angel announced it to the shepherds, then you had the sky light up with this group here, 2:13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Notice, by the way, that they're always messengers. That's an angel. He's a messenger. He's doing the Lord's bidding. Sometimes it's a good message, sometimes it's a message of judgment. But you have an innumerable amount of them. And then let's turn to Revelation 5:11. I hate to skip any of these. I've tried to select the good ones for you here. In Revelation 5:11, And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You get the idea? You know, if you were in heaven, I don't know how you... What is this? I have a picture in my mind, I guess. I don't know if it's right to have that. Because of the description in Revelation, you know, you got the throne, you have the crystal sea. And you have these angels. It's not a little group here. This is as far as the eye could see. You know, this is a vast, innumerable amount of angels that God has. They are called His hosts. And let's go to Psalm 103:21. Of course, they're heavenly beings, and they dwell in heaven, but they have access to earth, as we're going to see. In Psalm 103:21, bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts. Let me read verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. They're very exemplary as God's servants, perfectly obedient, these holy angels. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His. That's the angels he's referring to, his servants that do his pleasure. Now notice that word though, hosts. We read it also already in Psalm 148:2. Hosts. There's a group of them. We're going to see, I don't know, yeah, we'll get to it here in this study, principalities and powers. They have rank, they have order. God is a God of order. So they're not only innumerable, but they have positions and rank and specific services for the Lord. Now, they're also called stars. We read that one already. The angels referred to as stars. And I won't turn to Revelation 12. That's where Satan is called the dragon. And with his tail, he takes out a third of the stars, indicating to us that a third of these created beings, apparently having a free will, choose to disobey God like Satan, deceived by Satan, by his trafficking, Ezekiel. And he takes down a third of those stars. And so they still have access to heaven. They have access to earth. That's going to change in the great war in Revelation 12:7. Michael and the archangel and the holy angels warring against Satan and his angels. And that's an awesome thing to think about. And this is a realm that's way above us, flesh and blood, man. And so these are great beings. Created by God, they are innumerable. They are individually created. Notice here, under point 3 of created, individually created, called sons of God. Now let's go to Job chapter 1. There's a whole lot more that going on in Job's experience and met the eye, a whole lot more than just Job and his ash pile and his wife, curse God and die, his friends. It's because of some sin, Job. And there was something happening between God and Satan. And you have the angels who, even after the fall, come before God and they give account. Okay? In Job 1:6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So the sons of God. That would be holy and unholy. They are created by God. It created perfect, of course. Without sin. It says that of Satan. He was created perfect. And then he fell. It's a mystery. Notice chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And we already read 38:7 about the sons of God rejoice at the creation. So it's interesting, isn't it? They're individually created. They do not procreate as men. So they are not a race, and there is not redemption provided for them. Jesus died for man. Jesus became a man. And I don't want to go beyond what the scriptures say. Why is there not salvation provided for them? They certainly have had more light, wouldn't you say? I mean, they were before God. They could see Him. Directly. And notice in Psalm 89:6, it's an interesting subject, isn't it? It ought to humble us, you know. It ought to cause us to see a little bit of where we are in God's program and His order of beings that He has created. In Psalm 89:6, For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? That would be the angels. Now, the angels are great, but the angels are finite. The angels are created. And the angels must obey God, not because he's absolutely sovereign, but he has all power. And so, now let's go to Matthew 22. They don't procreate, and they never die. They don't increase or decrease in number. And notice in Matthew 22:28, God made a lot of them. You know, there'd be a vast host of believers in heaven, too. And I don't know how that would compare with the vast number of angels. But we know Jesus will see the fruit of his work there. Isaiah 53, he'll be satisfied because of his sacrifice. But Matthew 22:28, in answer to the Sadducees, you can always remember that name, but they're sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels either. And so Jesus, it's kind of a double answer that he gives to them, because he mentions angels and he mentions the resurrection. In Matthew 22, I won't read all this, but they're asking, okay, a person, a woman, she had seven husbands, they died, whose husband is hers in the resurrection? And 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. And he goes on to verify the resurrection. He's the God of the living. So, don't procreate. We're not getting very far, are we? Okay, so now they're created and they have personality. Now, we studied personality of God, right? Intellect, sensibility, will. We're created with personalities. In that sense, that's part, I believe, of the image of God that we have. Well, angels have this great intelligence and moral responsibility. They also do have a will, as we'll see. Now, when Jesus comes back, he'll come with all, it says that, the holy angels, Matthew 25:31. Now, that will be quite a scene. And these holy angels, notice that, holy angels, are in contrast to the unclean spirits, which Jesus would cast out. Let's turn to Luke 4. We see this frequently in the Gospels. You have, it seems like the powers of the underworld, Satan and his group, really come to a head of united effort to resist Jesus Christ in every way in his first advent. And no doubt that kind of activity will increase as we get closer to his second advent. And let's go to Luke 4:35. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil, it's really a demon, had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Well, he's the Lord. And have you come to torment us before the time? One of the demons said, thou holy one. They knew who he was and his power, and that he's the judge. But we see there these, going back to the fallen angels, they're called unclean. We'll do a further study on them. But the point is, you have moral responsibility here, intellect, sensibility, and will. That's true with the fallen and the unfallen angels. Now, the holy angels choose to obey God. And we read that in Psalm 103. They do his commandments. They take heed to his word. They perfectly obey God's word, unlike man, unlike the best of men. But the evil angels disobeyed God. Let's go to Jude 6. This tells us, by the way, they did have their abode in heaven, and they lost their privileges. The sentence hasn't been fully carried out, though. It will be in the kingdom and in the eternal state. And notice Jude 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, have but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. That's a specific group there. You have others that are on the earth or operate in the realm of the earth, and fallen angels, and they're led, of course, by Satan, who is their prince. Now, the point is they have personality. I don't suppose it'd be going too far to say they have individuality, you know, just like you and I do. There's no two people alike, right? Even identical twins, there's something different there in their personality. Well, the angels, they're each one of them created by God, a son of God. Now, they are spirits. Let's turn to Psalm 104:4. This is the passage from which the Hebrew passage comes. We'll just look at this. In Psalm 104:4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. That's interesting. And sometimes you see them appearing as such in the Bible. Now, he maketh, there's creation again, his angels, his messengers, spirits. So they're spiritual beings. However, they can manifest themselves, and they have manifested themselves in the past. Now, I'm going to point that out because I don't believe they're doing that today. I don't agree with Vernon McGee that they're not active today. I don't want to misquote him, but I believe that's what he teaches. And I believe they are. But I don't believe that we have their manifestation today because of the fact that we have the completed canon of Scripture. And you know the passage in Hebrews 1. It says, God, who in times past revealed himself in various ways and diverse manners unto the fathers, in these last days he's spoken unto us in Son. Not a perfect quote there. And so in times past he worked through dreams and visions and he directly communicated, and sometimes he used angels to do that. Remember, they're messengers. Sometimes it was through a dream, like to Joseph about Christ, about Mary, that the Christ child was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, like Jacob, the angels of God met him. And it was needful. He needed some support there, but he could see him. You remember the servant of Elisha, who had a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Apparently he could see something of the spiritual realm. Open his eyes, Lord, that he could see chariots of fire all around. It'd be great, wouldn't it, if we could see. But this is not what God has ordained for you and I, because he's spoken in Son. It's a higher dispensation. And the Holy Spirit and the pages of Scripture reveal the person of his Son. And that's where you want to have your focus anyway. But God has still revealed this to us, that they're there, these spiritual beings. And now they have in the past appeared as men. Let's go to Daniel 8:15. We've seen this in our Daniel study. By the way, the world likes the theme, right? And the world would like to humanize them over much and not make any distinction either, you know, saved or unsaved. They are ministering spirits to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. You could say to God's elect, I believe that even before you're saved, those angels are protecting you. And let's go to Daniel 8:15. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said unto, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. And so that's interesting too. Gabriel, several times in Daniel, gives understanding to Daniel. He's a messenger. He's the key messenger, we'll see. Probably next time. Notice in chapter 9, verse 21, it says, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man, notice he's called the man. He's not a man, but he's appearing in the form of a man is the point. Gabriel, he's a spiritual being, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and informed me. He goes on, he gave him skill and understanding. It's amazing, isn't it? And so now let's go to Luke 24:4. I don't think that's the right passage. Well, the one that I'm looking for is, well, let's go to Acts 1:10. No, Luke 24:4 is what I want. Luke 24:4. This is at the resurrection, actually to announce the resurrection. I think you had several angels involved in that, because you had one angel come whose face was like night lightning and his raiment glistening white, and for fear of him the keepers did shake as dead men. He's sitting on the stone that was rolled away. But then you had some other angels, and they're in the form of men, and they're speaking to the women, you know, that came to the tomb. And notice here in Luke 24:4. So they appear in different ways. Apparently they have that ability for the sake of man. 24:4, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid, bowed their faces down to the ground, to the earth. And so they had a message there about Jesus being risen. Now let's go to Acts 1:10, where you have Jesus ascending. And again, you have two men there. We know they're angels. Acts 1:10. And while they looked, I should read verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Every important juncture of the ministry of Christ, the angels were there. We'll get to that maybe next time. So, but the point here is they appear as men. But they have appeared with manifestation of their glory. Now, I won't go to Matthew 28. I quoted that. He's sitting on the throne, you know, face like lightning and raiment glistening white. And he's an awesome thing. And then notice Revelation 15:6, where you have them appearing in this vision of the revelation to John. By the way, the whole message of Revelation was communicated through an angel. I don't want to get ahead of myself, though, because we're going to get to their ministry. And he tried to worship the angel at the end, didn't he? A couple times. And notice Revelation 15:6, but you have many of these angels as a part of this vision here of what's happening in the future in the judgment upon this earth. In 15:6, and the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. So apparently they don't look like men here. There's more of a manifestation of the glory of their persons. And notice chapter 18:1. Here's a unique one. 18:1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has fallen. So he's announcing the judgment. And apparently they administer the judgment as delegates of God for that purpose in the book of Revelation. And then I mentioned that they appear in dreams. That's where an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived is her is of the Holy Spirit. But they appear in these ways as men in their glory, in dreams. But keep in mind they're spiritual beings. And you're not going to see them. Don't look for them. And don't believe those who say they do. And and those who get overoccupied with them, by the way. And I don't want to go overlap what we're going to get into next time in their ministry, but I do believe they do give a strength. And we don't know. We don't see them. But there's a ministry to us. There's a protection afforded through them. No question about that. So it's a great thing to know. Now, they have great power and authority. And let's go to Psalm 103:20 again. I think this one refers to how they excel in strength. And, you know, we're flesh and blood, so somehow we think of strength in the physical term, in physical ways, don't we? Actually, I think that there are angels powerful enough to destroy the world, just one of them, you know, that would be expressed in the physical realm. But they're strong in the spiritual realm. Let's go to 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. So they're very powerful. Now, this is expressed by the following designations for angels. And we'll try to get through these. Let me read them. Principalities and powers, authorities, thrones, dominions. Those are the key ones. Now, principalities and powers sometimes refers to the holy angels, sometimes to the fallen angels, because both have rank, holy army and unholy army. And let's go to, well, for time, let me quote Romans 8:38 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He gives a long list, neither principality nor powers. That would include Satan. Nothing can take you out of his hand, Jesus' hand. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, where we see something of the resurrection and ascension of Christ in relation to these principalities and powers. It says, verse 20, the power of the resurrection is working in the Christian, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So they're very high. Christ is above them. And let's go to chapter 3, verse 10, regarding the angels' observance. We'll get to that next time. You know they're called watchers. And chapter 3, verse 10 says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So they're learning. That's interesting, isn't it? They're learning. They're very intelligent, no question about that. But they are increasing in their knowledge as they observe the church. You know, these holy angels didn't fall. These holy angels don't have sin. And how amazing it must be to them to observe the grace of God in his work of salvation. And how amazing it must have been to see God become a man. And they worshiped him. When he came into the world, let all the angels of God worship him. That must have been so astounding. And then most of all, to hang upon that cross. And that's way... That's something the angels could have a greater comprehension of than you and I, because they would have seen the great condescension of how far down he went. Now, we already read Colossians 1, but let's go to Colossians 2:10. But they're observing, these principalities and powers are observing. They're observing the church. They're observing you and I. And verse 10, it says, and ye are complete in him, Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, that's very important. That includes the fallen principalities and powers. They must obey Jesus. So it's not like we've got some battle going on between good and evil, and we hope the good wins. No. God's just letting that play out until the time of judgment comes. It's already written. And Jesus is the head. And so, well, I'm going to skip to a passage that goes with that in 1 Peter 3:22. This has to do with authorities and how they're subject to Christ. 1 Peter 3:22. Now, they're subject to Christ before he came. They're subject to Christ after he died and rose again and ascended, and he's in heaven. And he's in a new glory, in a sense, as a man, as a redeemer. In 1 Peter 3:22, it says, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So they're subject unto him. And there you have the word authority invested with imperial responsibility, and Christ is subject. Or pardon me, the angels are subject to Christ. Now you have some other phrases. When Christ comes back, he'll come with the mighty angels. And let's go to Revelation, to a couple places. Revelation 10:1. These are interesting. Apparently there are certain ones in these ranks of angels who have greater power. And here's one of them. Chapter 10, verse 1. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. So how great are these beings? You know, these are... anthropomorphisms, speaking in human terms that we can understand a little bit, but it's figurative speech. But they're very great. And then notice in chapter 5, verse 2, Revelation 5, 2, it And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Of course, Jesus comes, takes the title deed, parallels with Daniel 7 from the Ancient of Days, and he opens the seals, the judgments. So you have the principalities and powers, the authorities, thrones. We read that already, thrones and dominions, also in that verse. Jesus created them. That's the point of that passage. Thrones and dominions. And in Revelation says there's an angel over fire, water, wind. There's an angel over the abyss. You know, a strong angel is going to take Satan, bind him with a chain, put him in the abyss, the bottomless pit, actually, for 1,000 years. And so they have great power, great authority. And it's good to stand in awe of them. Now they dwell in heaven. Let's go to Mark 13 in closing here in verse 32. Mark 13:32, speaking of the kingdom of heaven, which indeed is the least of all seeds, this mustard seed, but when it is grown, do I have the right verse here? Maybe not. Mark 13:32. I missed it. And I thought I looked up every one of these verses. Do I have it? I'm in the wrong book. That's Matthew. I was up till 12:30 on this. Give me a little break here. Mark 13:32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. So they're in heaven. That's their dwelling place. Now they have access to earth because remember when Job, one of the sons of God, came before God to give account, he said, From where art thou? Going to and fro in the earth. Now we know from 1 Peter, he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. So he's got some bad intentions. But that's just one illustration of their access to earth. And we'll see much more of that regarding the holy angels next time. But angels are very intelligent and powerful beings, not revealed to us in this age, but actively serving God for the fulfillment of his purpose. So we don't see them. We're not conscious of them. But we know they're there because we have the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of things we don't see, we're not conscious of, but we know it's so. We know heaven is so. We know Christ is so. Of course, he dwells in our heart. That does become experiential. But I don't believe it becomes experiential with the angels unless they... Maybe there is a strength sometimes that they do impart. Now, angels are superior beings who reflect the glory of their Creator. It doesn't say they're created in his image. But you can't help but see that they reflect something of his glory. No question about that. Just like the heavens declare the glory of God, right? Firmament showeth his handiwork. Creation reflects his glory. We reflect his glory. Well, these angels reflect his glory. And God's hosts of angels display the power and order of God who made them and who serve to fulfill his purposes. God is a God of order. He has rank. Principalities and powers. What are they? General. What goes into that? Major, captain, lieutenant, sergeant, private. He's got them all. He's got his ranks. And they're all very powerful. And then we will dwell with the holy angels and worship God together for eternity. And this is quite interesting. Remember when the angel who gave the revelation to John, John tried to worship him. He said, "See, thou do it not. I am not of thy fellow servants. Worship God." Their fellow servants, they worship God. We're going to worship God together. And then the question comes, well, what will the relationship be with angels? I don't want to get into conjecture here, but I'll go by what the Bible says. Now, here's something astounding. Paul said, "Know you not that you shall judge angels?" Now, how can that be? Because believers in Christ will someday be conformed to his image and be elevated above the angels. That's another subject, but that's amazing. So how great is the grace of man and the responsibilities that will be delegated to us in eternity? But when it comes to the angels, you always want to bring it back to God, right? How great is God who made them? Who is like the Lord? And it even says, "To whom will you liken him? or any of his, or the sons of the mighty. None of them, they're great, but there's no one like God. Well, let's pray. Father, how we thank thee for who thou art. We thank thee for the holy angels that minister to us in that unseen realm. And we stand in awe of that, humbled by that, in our lowly, limited, sinful state. We thank thee for these heavenly beings, these holy beings, who do thy bidding perfectly and do it for our sakes too in many ways. Father, we pray that you'd bless your word to our hearts today and help us to live with a consciousness of the unseen realm, to be aware. And Father, we pray, help us to walk by faith with resting in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.